The Man in Line.
Well, good afternoon, Fast Am I. It's just gone 12:05. Welcome along to Manx Radio's Man in Line for Tuesday, 12th of April. Alex Brindley sitting in this afternoon for Andy. He's a little under the weather, so get well soon, Andy. Taking the Lemsips and all that. Now, on the programme today, is this really any way to govern a nation? A shortage of air traffic controllers, delayed flights and broken car park barriers. When are all the problems at the airport going to be fixed?
Air traffic control is one or two short, I believe, but over the COVID period, there's been lack of training facilities available, so we are short, so it is our problem, but we haven't caused that.
Can the DOI do anything right? The promenade, the horse trams, we'd like to hear your opinions on that. And also, are we really doing enough to create the right impression for visitors?
First impression is going to be key if we're going to attract people to the island, but then ask them to keep coming back.
Yeah, he's got a point. First impressions are key. What are the first impressions of the Isle of Man to you? Okay, you come in on the boat and you wander through our 1950s sea terminal. You look up at the ceiling and go, what a mess. Do you wander onto the promenade and go, what a mess? Do you look around at some of the state of our buildings and attractions on the Isle of Man and think, why have they not spent any money on them? Okay? Why is the Isle of Man have so much trouble when it comes to the aesthetics? Are these the kind of things that bother you? Or do you think, actually, that people should just come here for our beautiful scenery? Okay? And the infrastructure around the island is in good enough condition for a tourist destination. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. 166 177. Got quite a few text messages left over from breakfast this morning. If you were tuned in to Manx Radio Breakfast with Ben and Sean, they did feature a number of stories that we're going to bring up on The Man in Line this afternoon. Obviously, I'd love to hear your calls on not just these, but any topic that takes your fancy. 6613 68 is the number to call. All you've got to do is give us a ring. Barry, our white-hot producer, will be on the other end of the line for you, and you can come on air and chat about any of these topics or any of the other topics. Thank you very much to Jeff, who's already texted in. My word, people quick on the finger today. Talking of the airport, need cleaning up. Have you seen there are national flags on the airport building? But what a disgrace. They're all ripped. Come on, government. Whilst you're worrying about all the world ending next week, your island is a disgrace. Let's have a look. Thank you, Nigel, who says, so, Mr. Callister says first impressions matter. Surprised, surprised. The public have been saying that for years. Take a look at the gardens outside Ronald's Way from the 60s and 70s. That's what the gardens should look like. As for Douglas Promenade, again, people have been saying it for the last 6 months, that the prom wouldn't be ready. It's a joke. And Douglas Promenade, with its nice sort of corridor of weeds, which they assured us would be a horse tramway track, but we're still waiting. Terry Kay, hello, Terry. He says, you talk about the airport. What about the NSC flumes, Peel Castle, Laxey Wheel, the Promenade horse trams, to name but a few, not available to our tourists, not to mention the state of the island's roads and the lack of road markings. Thank you very much, Terry, for that. Texter 262 doesn't pull any punches. Alex, first impression of the Isle of Man is absolute disgrace. Everywhere. Okay. And thank you very much let's say, Guesty, who says that there's a certain type of aircraft that's causing problems for our overstretched air traffic controllers. Okay. I'm not going to say it because I'll probably get it wrong and I'll get a slap on the wrist for using naughty words on the radio. If you want to get in touch this afternoon about any topic, 166 177 is the text message number. Or even better, it's nice to have a bit of a chinwag. Pick up the phone on 66 13 68. Richard's been on regarding our drive to get more visitors here. And he says, Alex, we're trying to attract 500,000 visitors per year, but look at the footpaths. Why not get our prisoners out in the fresh air, cutting them back? They would see it as a great treat to be out for the day. And we, the society, would benefit from the work. With people languishing in prison cells, doing nothing all day at the cost of the taxpayer, at about £1,000 per prisoner per day. Sort it out, government. What are you lot doing? I think they're on leave this week, aren't they? It's the Easter holidays. But yeah, when you do look around at a lot of things that aren't maintained, I always have a bugbear that when you look out of the window here at Douglas Head and ministers come up and we start talking about active travel. And active travel, some will say, is basically a blank cheque for lots of lycra-clad civil servants to get lots of cycle lanes everywhere. Pavements. Why are our pavements in such shocking condition? Below Manx Radio here, on the seaside, there's a pavement. There's also one on the land side as well. If you can find it under the undergrowth and all the slime and all the overgrown trees that are there. Okay? Do you think our footpaths are maintained to a high enough standard? Get in touch, let me know. If you think they are, and you think that I'm putting forward an argument that is false, I'd love for you to challenge me on it. So, 66 13 68. Let's look back at some of your comments from earlier in the day that came in on breakfast today. This is interesting when it comes to what's happening down at the airport is that, thank you very much to James who texted in saying, Tim Crookle is the Minister for Excuses and it's not our fault. No air traffic controllers trained due to COVID. Airport staff entitled to their break. The Isle of Man suffered in total 19 weeks complete closure due to COVID. UK and other places suffered many, many months longer. Stop with that excuse. Staff breaks at the airport. Take the breaks when no planes are due in. They've got nothing in most of the day. Bad management. And Tim Crookle is adding to all of this with his hideous excuses. Thank you, James. Don't pull any punches on that. Well, let's hear from the Infrastructure Minister, shall we? Because, as you've heard in the news, planes delayed because air traffic controllers were taking a mandatory break. Car parking barriers, which were designed for indoor use, being used outdoors and, predictably then, breaking down. Just some of the problems that have beset the Isle of Man Airport in recent months. During COVID, with many fewer passengers, these were not quite so visible, and now they are. And of course, half of the vaccination lab, all the bits that were added to the airport, they're still there. Random bits of walls that still have not been taken down. So, what is being done as we head toward the tourist season, and what is being done to get a new airport director? Well, the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookle, spoke to our John Moss.
Very close, very close. Yeah, we're just getting to the stage now. We're waiting for an acceptance. But
So you know the person you want?
I don't know who it is, but
the department knows the person you want.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So what about deputy director? What position are we with that?
Just getting this one done first, and the deputy director's obviously going to follow on from the back of that.
Well, you say everything's OK, but the weekend EasyJet's flight was delayed for half an hour because, apparently, of staff shortages in air traffic control. That's worrying.
You see, we get the blame for this every time, and it's not right because, you know, they were late coming in, or we have staff, if they know we've got staff shortages, we have to tell them we've got staff shortages. So if they're late leaving and late getting in, then that has a knock-on effect, and our staff have to take their breaks as and when. And if they happen to be on the ground here because they're late coming in when the staff need their break, legally they have to take that break, so... And I think there's also an issue over fueling, maybe. I don't know all the details. But
staff shortages haven't happened before. Presumably it's a very important area, this.
Yeah, absolutely is. And air traffic control is one or two short, I believe. But over the COVID period, there's been lack of training facilities available. So we are short. So it is our problem. But we haven't caused that,
But you say that the department is not really responsible. It's circumstances. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, in that case, it's circumstances. Yeah, so we're on the case. We're hopefully... employing people, new people to come in and training people up for that, but there is a knock-on effect from COVID on that.
Well, if we move on to the parking there, the barriers have been broken for a while. Apparently, some people are just leaving their cars there and saying thank you very much indeed.
It's an enormous drop
in income because I think in some months, it's almost £40,000 worth.
I'm not sure if it's quite that much, but it's an awful lot of money, John, and we shouldn't be losing it. But unfortunately, until we get the system sorted out, and again, it's a knock-on effect. The machines that are broken down there, the barriers are broken. To fix those, God forbid, those barriers were meant for indoors, not outdoors.
We haven't heard that. So why were indoor barriers put out?
I have no idea. It was before my time, but that's the case anyway. They're broken. To fix them is a lot of money. So the system we're now going for is like you get in most car parks across. It's, you do it on your phone. So you go in, you'll go on your app, you put your number plate in, you put in how much time you want, and also you'll be able to update it. If you need more time, you'll be able to update it and pay online.
This has been since last year. I mean, how long does it take?
Well, we were waiting to try and get the barriers and all sorts fit. I know, don't tell me, I'm really upset about it as well, but we were trying to get the barriers sorted. And also, don't forget, the pay machines, the coin machines that we've got, take Manx pound coins. Those machines can't now be fixed because everybody else's coins are the different coins across. So we've got to replace those machines as well. So it's one thing after another. So it's been a real pain to get this sorted. Hopefully, there's somebody on island tomorrow to look at the new system for us. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll have this up and running.
But you can't point the finger because all the management has gone that was actually there. All the top echelons have gone.
Yes, if you like. But I mean, it's a department's fault and we should have had it sorted quicker. But, we are hopefully on this now and say there's somebody on the island tomorrow to have a look at it for us, see what needs doing. And hopefully within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll have this up and running.
How many times did you hear the word hopefully there? And he said, it's the department's fault. Listening to the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookle there, possibly more questions that are posed than answers in terms of you, the taxpayer, because, you know, he and the department work for you. You pay them, OK? So when it comes to the airport, what a catalogue of disasters, some would say. And listening to him there, there's going to be a new mobile app. So basically, car park users at the airport will go and pay using an app. Online, you'll put your number plate in and you'll be able to be charged for that. Are you a pensioner? Are you a person who maybe hasn't got to grips with modern-day smart technology? James actually texted in earlier saying, what about the pensioners who are not online? And, well, that's a very good point, actually. So if you're going to go to the airport and maybe pick up your relatives and you don't have a smartphone, how do you pay? Okay? At this new car park. Questions, I'm sure, that the minister will be asking at some point. Although one thing that was interesting, we did ask, John Moss did ask the question, are we going to get a new airport director? Are we going to get someone who's actually in charge of the airport? And the minister confirmed that there is somebody, but he doesn't know who it is. There was what stated in that interview there. So who's running the department? Okay. Is it civil servants that are actually running our government? Or is it the ministers that we actually vote in to place to take the responsibility for running these departments? Because at the moment, it seems a bit of a grey area. Do you have any opinions then on when it comes to Isle of Man Airport? Give me a call, 66 13 68. Let's have a look at some more of your texts now. Alan, he says when it comes to the money that is being lost without checks in Liverpool on the dock, surely that money would be better spent here. I think he's referring to the Liverpool terminal and the spiralling costs there. It is interesting, isn't it, that the Liverpool terminal, of course, is costing us upward of £70 million. And at the end of it, we're assured we're going to get a wonderful terminal out of it. Douglas Promenade, let's be honest, is pretty much not something to be proud of, many would say. There's been cost-cutting all over the place, so we're not even getting a product to be proud of at the end of it. Do you think they should actually go back to Treasury and say, actually, give us the money to do a proper job? Or are we going to finish up with the Poundland prom that possibly we're getting? Also, thank you very much to Tony, who's texting. The handling and general look of our airport is poor at this present time. Let's hope this administration can get it back in shape. That's the hope. There was a lot of hope in that interview with the minister there. Jack says, look at the footpaths at Groudle Glen, Douglas to Peel. Paths been lost under undergrowth. No maintenance whatsoever. Useless government, and all they're doing is providing us with lots of excuses and non-actions. Okay, thank you very much for that. Graham's been back on. This is a topic that was on the man in line last week quite a bit, wasn't it? Alex, the cancellation of the fun fair is because of the music festival that's going to be taking place on the old Villiers site, and there was no parking for the people. But now, with no fun fair, there is plenty of parking. Bit strange, eh? He says that with Douglas Council charging 20p to use the toilets, and the grandstand tourists won't come back. Now, that's an interesting one. We've heard, of course, that the promenade walkway is going to give us more space for TT. I'm sure my kids are really looking forward to walking on more space instead of a fun fair. Is it going to be used for parking? Have we heard that? I'm not sure. 66 13 at 68 if you want to give us a call. Let's have a look. And it's a regular. It's Howard on line one. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Alex. Long time no hear.
I was going to say, yes, I've done my best to stay away, but needs must. What do you want to talk about today?
No, you just made mention of the promenade there. The promenade walkway. Now, I think it was about February when the walls and the gardens were knocked down with that storm that we had. Now, I was down the other day. I parked on the promenade. I didn't know whether it was operational or not, but I noticed that all the stone, or the majority of the stone, has been removed. Now, has that been put into storage? Or are they just going to leave the zinc galvanized barriers up and not rebuild those walls? Because they've also got the children's fair, well, not the fair, the children's play park fenced off. So that's out of sorts. The garden for the end. So are the corporation going to do anything about it? Because I can say about three times in my lifetime that the garden walls have been knocked down. And again, it's with the sea. And I remember because I, I served my apprenticeship and time afterwards within the Parks Department, going back to the 1960s. And in, I think it was 1966, they were knocked down completely, just as they are now. But without hesitation, they started rebuilding them. And we replaced a big lump of the soil down there. But there doesn't seem to be any activity whatsoever down there in replace. Here we are coming into the summer now, and it looks like a building site, basically, because even where they've been cleaning up, it hasn't been swept. In the children's play area, there's still a lot of stone there. Not that they're able to get in, but they don't seem to be making any effort to repair those walls. And if the stones have, because they're building stone, not bricks, they're building stone, and they were largely the original stones as built, have they been removed and dumped? Or has the council or whoever, the government or whatever it is, got some idea to put some stupid block wall up? Because that would detract from the whole system of the gardens.
Mm. I mean, Howard, when it comes to the gardens and the state of the island generally, I mean, we don't know the answer in terms of the specific walls you're talking about, but do you feel that people still cared, that they have a pride in the appearance of the aesthetics of the island? Why do you think that is?
Because, a lot is the younger generation, and you only have to see them walking. I'm not saying them all, they are good, and some of the older generation are more or less as bad. And they walk around, and they'll have something in their hand, a can or a book, a wrapper, and they'll just discard it. And as far as they're concerned, it's somebody else's job to pick it up. But the likes of that gardens and a lot of the parks and all around where you are up in Douglas Head, mm-hmm. If you look out your window and there's a lot of daffodils down there on the grass at the present moment, I personally put them in over 30 years ago. Now, the council leave them. They don't cut them down as they have done in the past, and they were put there in memory of my parents. But beyond that, when you go over towards the camera obscura, they had to be told to cut the grass over there, and it was a disgrace. The paths, nothing touched. But all they were interested in, the council, was the green flag. And they had judges coming over, and they looked at Hutchison Square, the golf course, part of Douglas Head, Nobles Park. Okay, these are going to be nominated to be judged. But outside of that, they don't seem to bother. And Douglas is looking, I've lived here all my life, 78 years, and it's looking worse now than I've ever seen it. There's no, they're making the excuse it's wilding. Mm. They're going back to wilding. They're not. They're just being lazy.
Okay, Howard. Well, thank you very much for your comments on that one.
Let's see if we can get those walls built up again.
Yes. So Howard wants the walls rebuilt into the sunken gardens. To be honest, I think we all do. The question is, what's the reason they're not being built? Okay. Is it going to be the same excuse we've been given as to why they can't reinstate the horse trams to the sea terminal? Because apparently we don't want any workers on the prom during the tourist season. Now we've got Bonzo on line two. Afternoon, Bonzo.
Oh, afternoon. Yes, the despair of infrastructure.
Ah.
Let us count the ways.
What's your specific issue with the DOI then?
Oh, all right. Well, let's sort of get to the centre of the problem. I think it's a failure of leadership, both political and within the sort of more senior elements of the civil service management itself. But this isn't a recent problem. This has been endemic for quite some time. You look at the airport. Well, there's been a place where I think certainly for the past few years. Questions have repeatedly been asked. And then we come to, of course, Bas Vanin, again, something which questions have been asked, back into the year dot. I mean, who remembers the Bendy bus debacle, for example?
They trialled a Bendy bus on the island, didn't they?
Yes, I believe there may have been something to do with the fact that there were a lot of Bendy buses which had been rejected by London Transport, you know, Transport for London.
Where did you hear that? Where did you hear that, Bonzo? Was that fact or was that just Manx whispers in a pub?
No, they have been rejected from by Transport for London.
Okay, yes. I meant the connection with the Isle of Man.
They had been withdrawn.
Right.
By Transport for London.
Yes.
Transport for London. So there was a wodge of these things, you know, lying around to be picked up. Anyway, it was trialled round here, and I think most of us saw how it. If it wasn't stationary because it had broken down, then it was having problems getting around anything. I think they then went to Malta, where they then were taken out of service after a couple of them caught fire.
The question I ask you here, Bonzo, because I can imagine you and I can sit here and go through all the things that we criticise DOI for, is the Isle of Man become too safe? If I put to you the other side of the equation, why wouldn't we trial a bendy bus as an example? Because the Victorians, of which we all talk about in hallowed voices, about how wonderful they were and what legacy they left the island, they tried and gambled everything. Whereas now, we just seem too risk-averse to try anything for fear of a minister getting hounded on Twitter, surely.
Well, I think sometimes I'm certainly one for innovation. Mm. Why don't we have electric buses, for example? That's one thing which I think can really. Or why don't we have a sort of light rail system running on the Manx electric railway track? Mm-hmm. You know, there are all sorts of things that you can innovate on, and I'm all for that. It's just that they have a great talent sometimes to pick the wrong horse. And as I say, I think this comes from a central failure of leadership which needs to be addressed. I was listening to Tim Crookall and the new interim chief executive. I can't remember her name now. And they were before the Environment and Infrastructure Policy Committee.
Yes.
Until I don't get out much, can't I? listen to that sort of stuff. Yes, I lead a very sheltered life. But in listening to that, you know, as once upon a time, somebody who used to do that kind of thing in Whitehall, I was absolutely astounded at what seemed to be an absence of preparation.
So in terms of coming up with a solution, Bonzo, what do you think is the way forward for the DOI? If I could say to you now, as I'm going to, 30 seconds, what is the first focus of sorting out the issue that is the Department of Infrastructure?
Getting a grip on the senior management. Leadership comes from the top, and leadership seems to be in very short supply.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Bonzo. I'm going to move on because I've got some other calls, but very good point from Bonzo there. You see, it needs leadership from the top, according to Bonzo. Now, here's a man who's got experience when it comes to that department, as it were. Hello, David, Mr. Quirk.
Hello, Mr. Brinley, sir. Ogden resident, anyway. And you're still able to vote for me when we're in the parish election.
That's what you think, David. Anyway.
Well, I've never seen you. Anyway, I just want to talk about the DOI itself. Now, I wouldn't blame the minister at the present time. The minister was probably voted in there or volunteered to do something about it. It's the team that's around him, whether that's a civil service team or his political members who are prepared to put an effort into doing something in supporting what challenges they've got themselves. And I'd ask people to look at that.
But David, if I can challenge on one fundamental point there from a political perspective, it's not about blame, it's about responsibility. In a democracy, we vote people in to do work and be responsible for things. Now, you were a member of the Department for Transport, which, of course, is the pre-runner to the DOI. And it's a case of that you can blame the team around him, the people who are paid, but they are not accountable to the people who are paying the bills, us. So who is accountable and who's responsible?
It's always the minister. But I don't know what happens in this particular political forum that we've got in the Isle of Man, whether it happens in the DOI or education and all those other places there. Do they have meetings with political members? Do they discuss issues to move things forward? Do the political members then take responsibility for elements which were in the DOI or the Board of Education or DEFA and have real challenges with their officers and members in that department to bring things forward or make things better or move things along if it doesn't fit. And I was just going to quickly say, Alex, that Mr. Krugel's always said the department is too big. So now with him and the Council of Ministers, they should get a grip together and say, which elements of the DOI do he doesn't need anymore? And I would quickly say, does he need waste management in there? Does he need housing? And there's all sorts of little bits of element in the DOI which probably are dragging it down all the time. It should be put somewhere else. And the other members or ministers out there should take these things on.
So, and David, as a former politician then, and someone who's been in a department, tell us on the outside, the people who are the voters, why is it, and this isn't DOI, this could be government-wide.
Anything.
Why is it that government doesn't seem to be able to do anything correctly, successfully? Flumes, promenade, a ferry terminal, run an airport, things like this. We seem to have a catalogue of errors going on and on and on. What is the reason this keeps on happening? Because in a private business, this kind of stuff wouldn't be permitted. They'd be out of business.
Yes, they would. And what it is down to the capital projects unit. They got rid of it. They shouldn't have done. Treasury, whether they like it or not, Mr. Lives in Williston there now. He should be taking a role and saying to them all now, what are these projects bringing in? Where are they online? Are they overspent? What's the reason for the overspend? And if I said to your colleagues that host the program all the time is, we need to know what variations, the quick answer is, what variations to the contracts that were awarded were given and what was the value of them. You get to the nub of the problem then.
Brilliant. David, thanks very much. Lovely to speak to you.
Bye.
And this afternoon, David Quirk there calling in. We've still got other topics we're going to explore, of course, that were on the news, including the fact that the Isle of Man wants to attract 500,000 tourists to our shores. The airport is one that's still getting a lot of your comments in, and we'll follow them up after this.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
The Nation Station. Manx Radio.
It's 25 to 1 now on The Man in Line. You're tuned to Manx Radio. Alex sitting in for Andy today. And thank you to the email that says that I was on a flight, on the EasyJet flight that was due to go out last Friday. This is the one that we've referred to so far in the stories regarding the air traffic controllers not being available. And it said an unmarked white jet that was heading for East Midlands, it turns out, hurried out 2 minutes before the EasyJet flight started its pushback for departure. I did notice that the other jet wasn't hanging about. It taxied far faster than would normally be the case, turned onto the runway and immediately took off, having presumably done all the pre-flight checks, etc. And then it blasted off. We started pushback, stopped, and then the pilot made the announcement about the delay of up to half an hour due to staff shortages in air traffic. From my phone messages, I can see that our 20 past 6 departure was fully boarded, doors closed and good to go at 21 minutes to 7, which was just before I saw the white jet hurry off. Interesting. Thank you to John, who's texting in, talking about the state of Manx roads. Hi, we used to love going up Douglas Head and enjoy the scenery, but my wife will not go up there now as she suffers from motion sickness and the road up the head is so diabolical. We've not been up there for over 2 years or more due to the condition of the road surface, which is sad, and like a lot of the roads on our island. Another one is the coast road from Douglas to the Liverpool Arms. Yeah, I know full well the Marine Drive around the corner always attracts a lot of comment. If you look at even the railings, the side of the Marine Drive, rusting away. When you drive around the coast road and go over the viaduct at Groudall, the railings there on the pavement are there for your safety to stop you falling 200 feet to your death, and they're just rusting away. They're not being maintained. Do you have any opinions on all of this? Please do get in touch. You can call 66 13 68 or text 166 177. I'm going to go back to the phone lines now because I've got, I think, is it Foster calling from Northern Ireland? Good afternoon.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you loud and clear, sir.
Yeah, I was in the Isle of Man maybe 13 times. My parents used to go on holiday every year to the Isle of Man, and they loved it. And I was in the Isle of Man between 1965 and 1977. And I haven't been back since. And in those days, my father used to take the car on the boat from Belfast. From memory, it was about 5.5 hours. Mm. And we used to stay out at Ballaspit Farm near St. John's towards Peel. And when I listen to your radio station occasionally, all the names of the places are coming back to me, and I'm so familiar, Douglas and all of Castletown and Uncton and all, and I can still remember them in my head very clearly. And in those days, the Isle of Man would have been a popular place for holidays. And I just think what happened, certainly with my parents, apart from me, you know, growing up, was the fact that it actually became cheaper to fly to places like the Canaries and Europe, to Cyprus, to Spain, Malta. And then you also had the added thing of having heat. And it was a lot more economical for folk, because I know in the 90s, my father went back one time, he flew into the Isle of Man, and he said for those 5 days, it was more expensive than, you know, a week or longer out abroad. And I think that's brought about a big change, you know.
Do you feel then that, obviously you've not been back to the island for a while, what is it that would attract you back? Is it our beautiful natural beauty of the island, at the footpaths, or is the stopping block, the blockage for you, the fact that actually we're just too expensive?
Yes, I think expense is going to be the thing that stops most people. I mean, I know people go for the TT races. Now, I have no interest in that whatsoever. I've never been to that. We always went in August with my family. But if it was cheaper to get a boat, but then you can't actually condemn so much the Isle of Man, because it's expensive to get a boat from Northern Ireland to Scotland or to England or from Dublin into Wales. So you know, the Manx ferries are no more expensive than travelling anywhere else in the British Isles. I think if you were going to attract tourism back to the Isle of Man, you would need to bring something that is going to appeal to people. You know, for example, if you're down in Spain, you go into Gibraltar, people will go there because they can buy cheaper cigarettes, perfume. I know the Isle of Man's not going to be able to reduce it, you know, that much, but if there was some little incentive like that, and maybe subsidised, you know, boat packages or airfares. But then also you need the accommodation that's going to satisfy people when they're there, because people have got used to going out to Benidorm and these places on the costas in Spain, and they're staying in all types of super accommodation. But equally, I suspect the Isle of Man has survived quite well this past 30 years, and it hasn't needed a lot of the types of tourism that maybe become unattractive in places like Benidorm. And I know I spent 35 years working. I just retired 2 years ago, and I worked all over England, and I was in Liverpool, Manchester a lot, and Blackpool. And I don't think you really want to be becoming the way Blackpool has become in the last 15 years. It's a bit unsavoury in places. But yeah, the Isle of Man was a great place for my parents, and I certainly wanted to go back last year, but your government wasn't letting us in, so I just had to stay put here, you know.
So I ask you a final question then. Now that the travel restrictions are gone, would we see you in the future?
Oh, definitely. I'm trying to see if I'm allowed in within the next month or two. I would love to take a week and tour around, because my mother died 2 years ago, and we were clearing out the house, and there was a beautiful old picture of Lacty. I found lots of little souvenirs that bought me Isle of Man, old maps from the 1960s and 70s. And I would just love to visit. I'd love to go with my vehicle, my wife, and a couple of my dogs, if they're allowed in, and just have a nice little mosey around and see what I can remember, you know.
Brilliant stuff. Well, we hope to see you back on the island sometime soon. Thanks very much for calling. That's Foster calling from Northern Ireland there. So, let's move on to basically tourism on the Isle of Man. Because, you know, that we started off talking about Ronaldsway Airport. Could the problems at Ronaldsway put tourists off coming to the island? The government recently announced plans to bring 500,000 visitors to the island by 2032. Now, Rob Collister, MHK, is the political member for tourism, and he's told Manx Radio's Rob Pritchard it's important that port facilities are up for scratch.
I think we've just come through a very difficult two-year period with COVID-19. We need to start doing the recovery, and some of those recoveries need to include improving our air links. I think if you speak to most people, where we were in the 70s, 80s and 90s, we had a lot more choice when it comes to airlines. So we need to look at them. We need to look at the reliability of those airlinks. And I'm hoping when the new director of the ports comes into place, we'll be able to start that conversation. We already have those discussions with the steam packet company. And as I said, we're very fortunate to have the managing director of Isle of Man Steam Packet Company on our visit agency. So we're able to talk directly to people that affect our tourism offering.
If you're looking to improve the airport, the sea terminal, for example, have there been any potential ideas earmarked to improve that visitor experience going forward?
We're going to have those conversations with the airlines and with the new director once that person is in post to make sure that over the next 10 years, the Isle of Man has those successful links to and from our island.
Specifically with regards to the airport, there have been conversations and debates fairly recently about the condition of the airport as it stands. Where does that rank in the priority list in terms of getting those airport facilities back up to scratch?
Yeah, I think it goes across our tourism sector. It's the first impression. And as I've said, we've got a new ferry terminal coming online in Liverpool. We've got a brand new boat coming online. I know there's been work undertaken already within the sea terminal in Douglas, so that's really good. And I thank the DOI for undertaking that work in the last few weeks and months. But the airport also needs tidying up because first impression is key, not just within our airports and within our ferry terminals, but also at the hotels as well and at our attractions. First impression is going to be key if we're going to attract people to the island, but then ask them to keep coming back and to support our beautiful island. Because as I've said, we've got some amazing attractions, some amazing places to visit. What we need to do is get the basics right for our visitors.
Rob Collister, MHK, talking there to Rob Pritchard. Yes, we have a beautiful island. Someone in the office said to me earlier that, when it comes to our tourist offering, we're relying on what God gave us, but occasionally God needs a bit of a helping hand. Okay. In terms of the aesthetics of the island, do you think the Isle of Man is shabby when you look at it? Marine Drive, the surface is all gone. There's rusted railings. There's buildings that are tatty. The Laxey Wheel, it's covered in scaffolding. And when the project's finished, they're not even going to paint the arches that go up the hillside. They'll all continue to peel. I've mentioned other things such as the promenade walkway. It's just patched up in black tarmac. There's no aesthetic to it, okay? There's weeds growing along the prom where there should be a reinstated horse tram, okay? As Rob Collister says, first impressions matter, but there was a lot of reference in there to looking at things, having discussions, talking, and conversations. Not much action, okay? Do you think there needs to be more action? Let me know. 66 13 68. Jill is on the phone. Jill, what would you like to talk about?
Oh, hello, Alex. I'd like people to have a kind thought for mothers and grandparents of children, because when I look after my granddaughter, we have nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do. If tourists come, they shouldn't have children for a start. I mean, I don't drive. I live in Douglas. I go through the Villa Marina Gardens with my beautiful granddaughter for a little walk. It's usually closed. It has been for the last 2 weeks because they're painting or they're getting something ready for a tourist, like beer festivals or whatever. Then I go to the sunken gardens. They've been closed for months. Now I sit and I talk to single mothers there. There are little Polish girlies there with their children. We all mingle. It's very important for their mental health. They don't all have cars. So we sit there and we have a little chat. So what do I do next? Can't go there. So we got the car yesterday, my husband's car. He had the day off. Mm-hmm. We went to Silverdale. We like to go there. We've been going there for months. The roundabout doesn't work. I keep saying to my granddaughter, promising her, we'll go on the beautiful horses on the roundabout.
It's still not working.
Shock, horror, not working. We went in for an ice cream and they said they've been asking for months. And it is months because we've been going now and again for months. So it's a disappointment. Now, my granddaughter loves horses. Now I'm hearing the horse tram won't be working. We can't go swimming on the slide. Do you know what I end up doing? And this is terrible.
Go on.
I end up going to the Strand Shopping Centre with her on a rainy day like today, and I spend £1.50 on one of these electrical rides that lasts for 2 seconds. and it costs about, there's about four rides. She knows exactly she wants to go on every ride. And I have to pay about £6. And then I say, Grandma's got no pennies left now. We have to go. Where do we go then when I can't drive? Where do we go next? There's nothing for children here. So MHKs, if they do have children, maybe some of them, you know, look after us first. Stop worrying about, let's, fun fair, okay? They can't have a fun fair now either. What do we do with children?
Jill, can I ask you, when it comes to the fact that there's always been this line, hasn't it? There's nothing to do, and then they always trot out that there's clubs and things like this. And I suffer the same issues you do with, I've got two young children, and today I don't know why my wife's doing with them because it's pouring with rain. What do you expect to be done? Because when it comes to the government of the island, what do you want to do?
Children-friendly, for a start, Alex. I live near the Villa Marina. But, you know, let's have some, put something in the Villa Marina garden for children. We have to go to the Dragon, is it Dragon's something or other? I don't
Dragon's
know
Castle, called. Yes.
Yeah, well, I don't like to go in small spaces. My granddaughter, she's only two, she's already had COVID. And it's still that matter. And it's paying again. Let's have a slide in the Villa Marina garden, for goodness sake, when we can get into it. You know, she walks along the wall with me. We're like going back to the 60s. Clubs. The little Polish girls who are with their children, they don't speak a lot of our language. And we sit there, like I said, the sunken gardens, you cannot get since January. And it's just disappointment. They won't go to a club. I mean, where is it written as a club? There's nothing written here. Is there an arrow to the club for little children? Tower House has a little tiny play area. Ooh, gold dust. Let's go and have a cup of tea and see if maybe a child's in there. These foreigner girlies, they're lovely. And they don't have cars. Where do they go in Douglas? And then we know where all the playing areas are when we got a car, and there's always something broken on them.
Jill, dare I ask, have you ever raised this with an MHK? Because, of course, government...
No, I haven't, because they're a waste of time. We were promised speed bumps, never got them. This was going back... I don't bother with them. I don't even vote, because they're all talk and no action. They just want to get in and get their nice posh houses everywhere with their maybe one child, you know, with baby on board written on the back of their Range Rovers. Makes me very agitated. So I have to pay now £7 in the Strand Shopping Centre so that I can do something with my... And you have... How old are your children, Alex?
Probably about the same age, 8 and 4.
And where do you go?
well, this is it. Thankfully, I've got a nice heritage tram pass, so I can go up and down, and they like railways. But, yeah, I've been the same as you.
We go on the railway, but the thing is, Alex, I bought her a bucket and spade the other day. We go to Laxey Beach because it's nice. We went on the beach the other day. We got hounded by dogs, massive ones, you know, and she was petrified. So everything's a disappointment for her. It's a shame. I'm very disappointed about the horse trams because, you know, I've promised her that as well. So nothing ticked for her this summer.
No.
You know?
I'm sorry about that, Jill. I say I'm sorry. It's not my fault. Maybe you should save up all the money that you're spending in our little Disneyland in the Strand shopping centre and start one for yourself, you know.
Be a good idea, Alex.
Thanks for your call, Jill. Lovely to hear from you. Jill there talking about the fact there's nothing for young children to do on the Isle of Man, and no one in government seems to care. Juan's on. Hello, Juan.
How are you, Alex?
I'm not so bad. How are you? Where are you at the moment?
Oh, wait, we're still in sunny Florida.
Oh, lucky you. Well, no problem with things to do out there for you, then.
Oh, no. We won't talk about Disney. It'll get you all upset.
Yeah, tell me about it. So go on, then. What are you on about this afternoon?
Yeah, you're talking about different things, Amy. You're saying about the state of the island and everything, and Marine Drive. I mean, even the doggers are... the dog walkers are complaining about the state of it out there, aren't they?
They are?
You know, I think people are fed up of trying to... get started in business over there. Government, again, the big machine, is getting involved in too many things. I think, you know, the look forward to looking back, or look, and freedom of freedom of information, freedom to flourish. You know, let governments step back away, just introduce things and let people get involved, let some entrepreneurs get involved and set some businesses up without all the red tape that's involved in doing stuff now. And there's obviously a big agenda in government. And I think we're talking there with Tim Krukel and what you were saying there. I think it's important to stop what's going on now so we don't get any of this here stupidness in the future. I mean, you're sorting out all these problems that government have caused. What's happening now? What's down the line in 10 years' time that they're messing around with now? I think there should be a big sort out in there and you know, certain agendas taken away. And let's get the Isle of Man back to where it was, tidy everything up, get it back to where it was, get things in order and move on from there. I think people are looking forward to looking back is quite a big thing at the moment now. People are upset about, you know, travelling. I think travelling's not going to get any easier in the near future, I think. And we've got a uniqueness on the Isle of Man, and I think we should, grasp that. Douglas has got no identity anymore, so let Douglas be the hub and put the hotels and the nice accommodation there. And, you know, the other parts of the island have got that identity, so work on that and keep that and, you know, get that heritage working. And years ago, I think they tried to get a holiday camp there, Butlins in Mount Murray, I think it was, and that was boo-hooed because of the hotels at the time. So maybe, you know, if someone wanted to invest in something like a centre parks, and get people here, but again, we're back to getting that there that price point on travel to get people here. But I think we've got such a uniqueness on the Isle of Man. We just need to sort the government out and just curtail that big machine from working so much, and just give a little bit more freedom to flourish for people.
Brilliant! Thanks so much, Dewan. Yeah, very concise points. That's it for today. Thank you very much for your company, all your texts and all your emails and your telephone calls. We hope Andy will be feeling better and back by tomorrow. Before I go, some more of your texts. Dave says, Isle of Man government, I've got all the gear and no idea. Get a grip or resign on block. Thank you, David. Grandma Anne in Onken says, why can't we have teacup rides for young children in Douglas or like any other seaside resort around the British Isles? Apparently, one person, Texter 369, says the old ShopRite Safeway store should be turned into an indoor place for kids and teenagers. What, a bit like Summerland was? Okay, John says, the Laxey Wheel was falling apart, Queen's Pier left to volunteers, the railings at Poulsen Park, the airport, keep the list going. Sorry I didn't have time to get to all of your texts, but they will all be read and they'll all be followed up. Andy might be back tomorrow. Christy's up next. Have a great day. Take care. Ta-da.